The title of the series is Redemption. Would you please say that? Say Redemption. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to the first couple of messages, those will be available to you online. Today, the subtitle is Bending Time. Would you please say that? Say Bending Time. Redemption, and we're going to talk about Bending Time. So this is in 2 Kings chapter 20, and I'll begin with verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says, put your house in order, because you're going to die. You will not recover." Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, "Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, "Go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, this is what the Lord, the God, your father, David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you in this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David." Then Isaiah said, "Prepare a poultice of figs," and they did so and applied it to the boil, and he recovered. Hezekiah had asked Isaiah, "What will be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I will go up to the temple of the Lord on the third day from now?" Isaiah answered, "This is the Lord's sign to you that the Lord will do what he has promised. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps or shall it go back 10 steps?" "It's a simple matter for the shadow to go forward 10 steps," said Hezekiah. "Rather, have it go back 10 steps." And then the prophet Isaiah called upon the Lord, and the Lord made the shadow go back the 10 steps it had gone down on the stairway of Ahaz. Somebody say bending time. Say bending time. And so I have a question for you today. Do you ever feel like time is slipping away? Do you feel like time is going so quickly and slipping between your fingertips? Do you ever feel that you don't have time to accomplish everything that is in your heart? Do you feel like time is just slipping away? Here's a question for you. Have you ever felt like a failure because it seems like you can't accomplish as much as other people? I think these are understandable feelings, and I think that we all go through them. So we're talking about redemption, and I'm going to give you, again, to reiterate, four aspects of redemption, I think, that will really help us, and especially as we get into the message, remember these definitions. The first theological concept of redemption is this idea of buying back. Redemption is buying back. I told you about a story that I heard of an artist, and he became quite famous, and later on in life, after he was quite well known, he was walking through a village and he saw in a little store his painting, a painting that he had done many, many years ago. And he saw that it was cracked and it was peeling and the frame was cracked. And so he thought, "I really ought to touch that painting up. I can make that so much better. I can restore that painting." But he had to go into the store and buy back his own painting. That's redemption. Redemption is buying back. Secondly, redemption is rescuing. And really the picture that I would encourage you to have in your mind is finding a lost child, a child who's lost. Can you imagine if your child was lost, how trepidatious you would feel, how anxious you would feel to try to find your child? So it's this idea of rescuing a lost child. I would say, think of it in terms like this, a child that's kidnapped, even, that has been taken by somebody. And so it's this, redemption is a sense of rescuing. The third concept is fixing. For example, a vase that is broken or a bowl that has fallen and cracked. You glue that back together. That's redemption. And that is a theological concept where God begins to heal our hearts and put us back together. That's redemption. And then the fourth concept that I want us to have in our mind is that redemption is making good on something. For example, like redeeming a coupon or a gift certificate. You trade it in for value. It's making that piece of paper good. It's making a coupon good. So these are the concepts of redemption. Would you please say redemption? Say redemption. Now say bending time, bending time. And so let's talk about if we're facing a dilemma today. Hezekiah was facing a dilemma. He has found out that he's about to die. And some of you have maybe been in that place in the past where you were given a death sentence. You were told that you were going to die. You were given a report by the doctor or medically. And we've certainly had people in our fellowship where that has been the diagnosis. And so he finds out that he's going to die. Now, what's amazing about this passage, there's three things about Hezekiah, and I really want you to draw this into your context. The first thing he does is he faces the wall. He just puts his head on the wall, and he begins to weep, and he begins to cry out to the Lord. He begins to pray. Now, to me, that would describe any of us that got a death sentence or we got information and we were told that we were going to die. That's the wall that you're facing. It's an impossible wall. It's a death sentence. And he just weeps, and then he begins to cry out to the Lord. He begins to pray. Now, I wonder what kind of wall you're facing today. Are you facing a wall? Are you facing a place of impossibility? Are you facing a medical wall? Are you facing a financial wall? Are you facing a habit that you have never maybe seemed to be able to get victory over? What kind of wall might you be facing today? Hezekiah is facing a dilemma. We all face dilemmas. We all can face the wall. But don't miss this. Pour out your heart to the Lord. Go to the Lord and release every bit of emotion. It is okay, and I would say it's even right for you to weep before the Lord as you face the wall. But call out to the Lord, cry out to the Lord. And so Hezekiah is facing a dilemma. So you face your dilemma, but how do you experience your deliverance? How do you experience your deliverance? And the answer is redemption. Would you please say redemption? Say it, say redemption. How do you experience deliverance? And Hezekiah gets his deliverance. He receives a healing, and God adds time to his life. So God bends time. This is a remarkable event. It's a fascinating story that God actually bends time here. He gives Hezekiah more time. Now, when we talk about bending time refers to the altering the passage of time. If you hear the phrase bending time, it's either speeding time up or slowing it down. And some people would say, well, it even means traveling through time. So bending time means that you slow down time or you speed it up or you can even travel through time. And so Einstein, who really was a genius, Einstein's theory of relativity suggests that time is not necessarily a constant. This is his theory of relativity. Therefore, time can be affected by speed and gravity. And so the example would be as an object approaches the speed of light, it just gets faster and faster, then time slows down relative to the observer. So it's a theory, but it's a sense of because the object is moving so fast at the observer, it looks like time is slowing down. So the idea is that time is bent by traveling at extremely high speeds. This is the idea of bending time. And so now we get to the context of the passage, and the Lord gives Hezekiah a sign. He says, what will be the sign that I'll be healed? And so the Lord says, well, do you want time to go forward, or do you want time to go backward? Well, forward is too easy because it already seems like it's slipping through our fingers. It already feels like it's accelerating. It's already feeling like it's going too quickly. He says, so march it back just a little bit. Hold it back. Let it go backwards. So what was the stairway to Ahaz that the scripture talks about here? Well, one, it could very simply have been a sundial. And so the sun either stopped and then went backwards, or the shadow, I have no trouble believing that the Lord could slow down time in order to accomplish his plans and purposes for your life. I have no trouble believing, we've even seen it in the scriptures, that God stopped the sun in order to accomplish his plans and his purposes. So it could have been a sundial, or it could have been a literal stairway of steps that were near the palace. And so as the sun was going down, the shadows got longer and longer. But instead of doing that, the Lord had to retract and go backwards. And so the Lord literally slows things down as a sign that he was going to be healed. Now, if you've been given a death sentence and then God gave you 15 more years, wouldn't that be like marching back time? Isn't that God giving you more time? And you might be here today and feel like, wow, time is slipping through my fingers. I want you to know today, God can give you more time. Say amen to that. If you're in the twilight years of your life and you're wondering, is there any purpose? I want you to know there's purpose for you. In fact, I would say this as a footnote, that in the States, they say one of the greatest unused resources in our nation are our senior citizens, because they have such a wealth of experience and wisdom and knowledge. And so you might be at the place in your life where you can accomplish even more because of your experience. And so God can give you more time to accomplish some things that he has for you here on earth. This is the idea of giving more time. And so if you've been given a death sentence, hear the word of the Lord. God can redeem. He can march back time. He can give you more time. Say amen to that. So let's say redemption. Say it out loud. In fact, why don't you just touch your neighbor and say, hey, God will stop time for you. Say it. Come on, find somebody and say, the Lord will bend time for you. Come on, find somebody else and say, hey, God wants to redeem your life. God wants to redeem your life. And so God bends time. He bends time. So I want to talk about redemption, and I want to look at Psalm chapter 103. This is an Old Testament passage, but it's such a revelation of God's grace and benefits of redemption that really the writer of the psalm is peering into the New Testament and looking into the future as far as what is available to us through the death and the resurrection of Christ. And so I want you to look at Psalm chapter 103, and we're just going to read the first five verses and draw out the benefits of the covenant, the benefits of redemption, and then we'll mirror that and look at some New Testament scriptures to substantiate it. So in Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5, here's what King David wrote. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Now, let me just pause right there. You know that David is talking to himself here. He's saying, praise the Lord, O my soul. Do you know, it's good for you to talk to yourself once in a while and say to yourself, hey, you need to praise the Lord. You need to talk to your emotions. You need to get your mind straight. Say, hey, you need to praise the Lord. I'll give you an example. You don't always feel like praising the Lord, but intellectually, you know it's the right thing. So tell your emotions to praise the Lord, right? Or your mind is all over the place because you've gotten bad news, but you've got to talk to yourself and say, hey, praise the Lord. So he says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then he tells us the benefits of redemption. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And that is great news, and it's all about redemption. Amen? So let's look at these. The first one is, regarding sin, he says that he forgives all your sins. So I wonder if you're here today and you're struggling with a sin, you're struggling with a habit, or maybe you're struggling with the memory of things that have taken place in your past. So I'm going to speak life to you today. I'm going to speak hope. I'm going to speak good news to you today. And I pray by God's grace, you can just receive it and let the grace of God just wash over you all through your memories and all through your mind and all through your past and your present. And you'll just receive the grace of God. So in regard to sin, Ephesians 1, 7 to 8 says this, in him we have redemption. Please say redemption. In him we have redemption through his blood. You know, it's his blood that washes you, that washes the memories, that washes the things that you have done. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. I pray that you'll have wisdom and understanding to really receive and know that Jesus has truly forgiven you for all your sins. Please say all my sins, okay? Not just a few, not just the ones that you think you should be forgiven of, but all of your sins. Every thought, every attitude, every action that has been displeasing to the Lord, all just go plunged under the blood of Christ, completely washed and forgiven. This is the power of redemption. And so you've been forgiven. One of the things that hold us back in our life is oftentimes that we can't receive the forgiveness of the Lord. We're still plagued by memories. We're still plagued by the mistakes that we have done. And I just want to speak this into your heart today. God forgives you. He lavishes his love on you to forgive you, to wipe it all clean, to throw your sins as far as the east is from the west. You are forgiven today. You are loved. You are washed clean by the blood of Jesus. And he comes in with a scrub, and he just scrubs even the memories and the regret and the remorse that you might have and just washes you clean. The Lord is so loving and kind. Listen to Colossians 1, verses 13 to 14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption. Please say redemption. The forgiveness of sins. And so the Lord has forgiven you. He has redeemed you. He has rescued you. From a life that could be detrimental, a life that has gone off the rails, a life that would bring destruction. And even if you've loved the Lord for a long time and you've been walking with him, aren't you so grateful for the guardrails? Aren't you so grateful for the way he has rescued? Because if not for the grace of God, you would have fallen off the cliff and you would have died. But that's redemption. That's him forgiving you of all your sins. And so he says all our sins. This is really important because sometimes, and you may have been walking with the Lord a long time, but you don't feel very forgiven. In fact, oftentimes I would say this about forgiveness. It's often an intellectual exercise where we say, God, please forgive me. But we don't allow it to penetrate and go deep into our emotions. You've got to receive the forgiveness of the Lord at an emotional level and say, the Lord, Lord, I receive that at a deep place in my heart so that you'll lift that out of me and it will no longer detain me and keep me and hold me back. Say amen to that. And so he forgives us of all of our sins. Now, verse 2 says that he will forget not all of his benefits. Verse 3, he forgives all of our sins and heals all our diseases. So I want you to please say this out loud, if you could. Say, all my sins. Now say this, all my diseases. Okay, that's really important. That's what the word said. Theologically, Jesus has forgiven you of all your sins. And right in with his dying on the cross and dying for your sins, he died for your diseases. That's really, really important. And so regarding your health is redemption. Now, listen to Luke 4 and verse 40. But Jesus, everywhere he went, he healed. The Bible says, when the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. You're each one. You are one of those ones. And so everywhere Jesus went, he healed. He healed. One of the large parts of Jesus' ministry is that he healed. He physically healed people. He emotionally healed him. His whole ministry was wrapped up in healing. He came to heal a broken world. He came to heal a broken heart. He came to heal a broken body. That's what Jesus came for. And so this is really important that he heals all of our diseases. Now, 1 Peter 2:24, it says, he, speaking of Jesus, Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross. So every sin that you committed, that I committed, he bore in his body. He took it into his body. But now don't miss the rest of the verse. So that we might die to sins and live for righteousness, by his wounds you have been healed. So Jesus took your sin into his body, but he took every disease into his body, every deformity, every incurable disease. Everything goes into his body. He took it on the cross, and by his wounds, you are healed. You have been healed because of the work of Christ on the cross. Can you please say amen to that? And so he forgives all my sins, but he heals all my diseases. This is really important. So this was the demonstration of Christ's ministry. It was a demonstration of the ministry in the book of Acts. And it was so much sore that it was a heart cry of the disciples. And so listen to the heart cry of John in 3 John 1 and verse 2. And this is out of the NASB. He says, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health." Say good health. Just as your soul prospers. Now don't miss the last part of this verse. We could say so much about it. Just as your soul prospers. In other words, you got to renew your mind to the fact that Jesus wants to heal you. Just like you renew your mind to the fact that he wants to forgive you. Because if you don't think that you can be healed, it's going to be hard for you to be healed. And so your soul has to prosper. You have to believe. You have to renew your mind to good health, that God wants you to be in good health. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be in good health. And so this is the heart cry of the writers of the New Testament. This is the demonstration of Jesus' ministry, the Acts of the Apostles. But even in the epistles and in the writings and the letters, you see this thundering through the Scripture that Jesus wants to heal you. And he's died not just for your sins, but he died for your body. Say amen to that. And so this is the benefit. This is the benefit of redemption, is the healing of not just our heart, not just our emotions, but our bodies that Jesus wants to heal. So regarding your health, I pray and I hope that you can receive that today, that God wants you to be in good health. God wants to heal you today. God doesn't want you to struggle with physical conditions or to struggle with handicaps or to struggle with a sickness or a disease. He wants to heal you. And so may we renew our mind to the goodness of God, a good dad who wants to heal us. This is redemption. So redemption is regarding sin, healing, or forgiveness of all our sins, and regarding our health, he heals our bodies. Now, let me just say this. You'll find this very, very interesting if you paid attention to the text that we read today, is that God healed him supernaturally, but he also used a natural means. And so he had a boil. It was a life-threatening boil. And so Isaiah went and made a poultice, put some herbs on that boil. And so do everything you can in the natural, and then pray that God will add the super to the natural and heal you. Amen? And so be spirit-led in things to realize that the Lord heals and he will guide you in the process, sometimes through natural means, sometimes through supernatural means, but Jesus gets all the glory and the credit. Say amen to that. So regarding sin, regarding health. Thirdly, regarding your destiny. Redemption is all about your destiny. And so we read in verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit. That's your destiny, where you were in a pit, but this picture of God reaching down into the pit. And how many people know God reaches way down into the depths of your heart, in the depths of your lostness, in the depths of your pain? He reaches way down and he picks you up out of that pit and places you in a situation where you can be healed and you can rule and reign and you can accomplish great things in life. That's your destiny. And so listen to Ephesians 1, verse 11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. That's destiny. And so God reaches way down into the pit, picks you up, and says, you know what? I got a plan for this person's life. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter how bad it was before. It doesn't matter how painful it was. It doesn't matter whether you feel like you had an advantage in life or not. God says, this is my child, and I have an amazing plan for them. I'm going to pick them up out of the pit, and I'm going to accomplish some great things for them. I chose them, and I was thinking about you before the foundation of the world, the Lord says. This is amazing. And so he works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. So his will for your life is a great destiny. So even if you're going through a few bumps right now, that doesn't change your destiny. Say amen to that. Even if you're going through some pain right now, that doesn't change your destiny. Say amen to that. Even if you're bankrupt today, that doesn't change your destiny. Say amen to that. Even if you're racked with pain and your body's in pain, that doesn't change your destiny. Say amen to that. God is an amazing plan. This is destiny. And so he has a destiny for every single one of you. Redemption, and we need to embrace what Jesus has done to say, you know what, God has an amazing plan and he's going to work it out in conformity with the purpose of his will. Let me give you another scripture. This is in Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork. A better translation of that word, the New Living Translation actually does it better. We're God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, watch this, which God prepared in advance for you to do. Now, I think we should pause and say this out loud. Whether you like it or not, you got to please say this out loud. Say, I am a masterpiece. Okay, now some of you have trouble saying that. Say it again. I'm a masterpiece. You really ought to look in the mirror a few times every day. And some of you don't like what you see in the mirror, but you ought to say it. I am a masterpiece. So say it again. I'm a masterpiece. Now, be sincere about it. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm a masterpiece. Be sincere about it. Say, I'm a masterpiece. Now, let's see how Christ-like you are. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a masterpiece. Let's see. You're a masterpiece. So we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And he's planning them in advance for you to do. Can you see the destiny? God's already got people for you to pray for to be healed. God's already got people for you to lead to Christ. He's getting things ready, orchestrating, moving the chess pieces so that you can meet them and lead them to Christ. He's already got the right clients for you if you have your own business. Getting them ready so that you can have the right client. He's getting finances ready for you. He's preparing things in advance. I pray that we could get this revelation of God's destiny for our lives, because it would really explode in faith and we'd see how amazing this adventure is. This is your destiny. Let me give you another one, because I don't think that was good enough for you. In Joel chapter 2, verse 25, this is out of the New Living Translation. The Lord says, I will give you back what you lost to the swarming locusts. Everybody say this. That's redemption. That's redemption. Okay, so we don't have time to develop this whole idea here, but the idea here is that whatever you have lost, redemption is that God will give it back to you. hear the word of the Lord today. If somebody has lost finances, it's not the end. It's not the end. God can recoup that and pay back what the devil has taken from you. Say amen, say amen. That's such a powerful word. And so he can, what you have lost, or maybe you might be here today and you feel like you've lost time because of your the mistakes that you made in the past. Maybe you lost time because of drug addiction. Maybe you lost time because of immorality and the decisions that you make. Hear the word of the Lord. God wants to heal you and bring back, recoup some of that lost time for his glory. Because he can bend time. He can bend time. This is your destiny. And then, regarding your identity, look at Psalm 103 again. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. God puts a crown on you. This is your identity, an identity as a child of God. This is one of the most critical things in our walk with the Lord, that if we can't get a revelation and understanding of who we are as a child of God, it's going to impede our success. And so we really need this revelation. Now listen to Galatians 4, 6 to 7. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So the word Abba there is the Hebrew and the Aramaic for daddy. The Spirit who calls out, Daddy, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. I love this verse because first, it tells me how close and intimate you can be with God the Father. There's a difference between a father and a daddy. When we talk about a father, that's the sense of a role, a role of a provider, sometimes the role of a disciplinarian. But a daddy is somebody who plays with you. A daddy is somebody who holds you. A daddy is somebody that you can pour out your heart to and talk to. So I love the intimacy of this, that God puts his Spirit inside of us to call out, Daddy. And I want to encourage you today, there might be some people here where you've never had that close relationship with the Lord. So now make it your goal that you're going to start praying about that and say, God, I want to know you as Daddy. You know, if you never had a dad for one day in your life, it would be hard to call God Daddy. Or maybe the example you had was only a disciplinarian, or he wasn't ever there for you emotionally. Worst case would even be hurt and abuse. Then God's got to really heal you and change that. But if you've never had that, make it your goal to say, man, I'm going to pray for this revelation that God is my daddy. I want to have that kind of closeness with the Lord. And so I love the intimacy of this passage. But notice this, he's your dad and you're his child. Because when you get that revelation, there's incredible security. There's incredible confidence. It doesn't matter what you face in life. You know that you've got your dad. Your dad's backing you. You got the closeness of your daddy. And so regarding your identity, that you're a child of God. Now watch this. When you're born again, listen to Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. This is remarkable. So when you're born again, you receive the Holy Spirit into your heart. You have the Holy Spirit, and he testifies with your spirit. Your spirit inside of you, the Holy Spirit says, you're God's child. You are the child of God. Listen to some of the things he says. You're forgiven. You're healed. You're amazing. You have incredible gifting. You have amazing potential. I love you. That's the voice you need to start listening to. Some of us have been listening to the wrong voices. Voices like, you're a failure. You'll never succeed. You're not going to accomplish much. You're going to be sick the rest of your life. We listen to those voices. You got to cut those voices off and start listening to the loving, encouraging voice of the Holy Spirit that says, you're my child. You're my daughter. You're my son. And he testifies with your spirit. And this is your identity. And so because you're a child, you have an amazing inheritance, a spiritual inheritance. And if we could get this revelation, we would walk around in such security, in such peace, instead of fear. But the Bible says you're no longer a slave to fear. You don't have to live in fear. You live in this incredible security of saying, you know what? God's going to provide for me. I might have been in fear before when I lost a job, but not anymore. I might have been in fear before when I got sick, but not anymore. I might have been in fear before when I had tension in relationships, but not anymore. Because I know I'm a child of God. I'm secure in that. I've got peace in that. And he's going to pull me through this situation. And so no matter what you're facing, whatever wall you're facing, inside is the loving, powerful, encouraging voice of the Holy Spirit that says, you're my child, and I've got this, and I'm going to take care of this with you. Say amen to that. And so this is your identity. Identity is extremely important. I think a lack of understanding of who we are as children of God impedes our growth and impedes our ability to minister and succeed because we're so self-absorbed in our own stuff and in our own selfishness and in our own carnality and in our own absorption. God wants to heal you from all that junk so that you're so free and you're so at peace in Him that you can just look around and say, who can I bless? Who can I minister to? Come on, that's the Jesus style. That's being Christ-like. That's what the Lord wants for you. And so this is the promise of redemption regarding our identity. And then you look at Psalm 103 and look at verse 5. He says, who satisfies your desires with good things? I'm going to read that again in English because evidently you didn't understand my English. Who satisfies your desires with good things. With good things, okay? So regarding provision, regarding your finances, this is redemption. This is really great news. And so Philippians 4:19 in the NASB says that my God will supply all your needs. I think we should repeat the alls. He forgives you of all your sins. He heals you of all your diseases. He supplies for all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. This is really important. God is not lacking today. He has enough resources to bless you and to bless everybody around you. And so part of the benefit of redemption is that God provides for you. He will provide, and he'll provide with peace. He'll give you his provision with the joy of the Lord. So my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Let me read to you 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. And God is able to bless you abundantly. Would you please say abundantly? Okay, he didn't say a little bit. He said abundantly. Okay, he's able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, please say all things, at all times, say all times, having all that you need, say that, all that I need, you will abound in every good work. So he blesses you so you can be a blessing to other people. And so this doesn't mean that you're not going to go through lean times or difficult times or you're going to have to trust the Lord, but it does mean that God wants to bless you. This is really, really important because much of the church has not preached or taught or understood the whole package of redemption. And so they'll talk about forgiveness of sins. God has forgiven you, but won't talk about healing your body, healing your mind, healing your heart. Won't talk about providing for you. But this is good news. Good news is all inclusive. This is the gospel. This is what God wants for all of us. He wants to provide for you. That's wonderful. It's great. That's one of the best things is that he wants to provide for you. And so we need to receive this and renew our mind to redemption. Let me drill down on this just a little bit more to help you, okay? So go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 35 to 36. Now, it doesn't mean, if God's going to provide, it doesn't mean you're not going to go through lean times. So listen to this. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. So keep persevering because God wants to provide for you. Now I'm going to show you something. This word reward, where it says that God will reward you. This word reward is the Greek word misthopodosia. Misthopodosia is a compound word. The root word of misthopodosia is podosia, where we get our word podiatrist. So it's this idea of feet. So misthopodosia means your reward, and when you do a word study in the Greek, it really means recompense or payment. But you can't miss the root part of the word podosia. Misthopodosia, what the writer of Hebrews is saying here is that your reward, your recompense, or your payment is walking to you, coming to you. So just persevere and wait and trust the Lord because your reward is coming to you. This is such a strong word because we as people, we've been running after stuff our whole lives, trying to get a better job, trying to get money, trying to do this. And don't misunderstand, you got to have a strong work ethic. But what God is saying here is if you trust and rest in Him, the reward is coming to you. I'll say it this way. I'll be so bold as to say money is coming your way. Money is walking to you. God will get the provision to you. Look, if you've got a vision and you have a desire to help people, God says, you know what? I'll trust that person and let me get resources to them so that I can get it through them to help other people. Amen, church? The problem is we haven't had vision to help other people. We've just had vision for ourselves. Did I just say that? Did I just hurt your feelings? The problem is we've only had vision for ourselves instead of for the kingdom and for other people. But you get a big enough vision, God will say, you know what? I can trust that person. Let me get money to them so I can get money through them to help my people and to get the gospel out. Amen? That's redemption. So I want you to look lovingly to your neighbor and say, hey, God wants to provide for you. Okay, find somebody and say, hey, the Lord likes you. The Lord likes you. He's a good dad. Tell him He's a good dad. And the final aspect of redemption is regarding your life. So He satisfies you with good things. And then verse 5, the latter part of it says, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So you can fly like an eagle. So listen to John chapter 10, verse 10. This is out of the NASB. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. Okay, so metaphorically, Jesus is talking about the devil. He says, devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I came so that they would have life. Please say life. And have it abundantly. Please say this. Say abundant life. Abundant. Abundant life. Yeah, so life. Not the idea, Jesus is saying to you that you're not just supposed to kind of make it through life, just barely making it. Come on, He wants you to have abundant life, joyful life. He wants you to have a kick in your step. He wants you to have light in your eyes. He wants you to shine and have the fire of the Lord. This is God's heart and desire for you. And so if you're in a down time or a down season, you got to say to yourself, this too will end because the promise is abundant life. Not just life, not just making it through life, but abundant life. Life that is full, the NIV says. So it's abundant. It's abundant life. Now, listen to Colossians 1:29. I love this, what Paul says. To this end, I labor, struggling. Okay, we all struggle. We all work hard, struggling. But don't miss this. Struggling with all His energy. Greek word, energia. So I'm struggling. But notice this, it's with energy, but it's not my energy. It's with the energy of the Lord. Do you remember the verse we said that the same Spirit that is in you is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead? You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. So you're struggling with energy, but it's His, which so powerfully works in me. So you got to start seeing yourself as powerful. Let's do something. Because I need all you timid people, everybody, let's all raise our hands with two fists in our, come on, fists, and say, I've got the Holy Spirit who powerfully works in me. Yeah, now you're getting the idea. Now you're getting the idea. So you struggle, you labor, but it's with the energy of the Lord. There's nothing like the energy of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing like the life and the power of the Holy Spirit that works through you. It's so abundant. It's so joyful. It's phenomenal, the kind of power that flows through you when it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he works through you. Now, listen to Romans 8, verse 11. I just alluded to it. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. I think we better say this. Say, I have resurrection power inside of me. Okay, slap your neighbor twice and say, you got resurrection power inside of you. Okay, resurrection power. And if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Resurrection power is inside of me. So I got to get in good shape. So I got to be healed. So I got to have a kick in my step, just whew, giving life to my mortal body. Resurrection power working its way into my mortal body, working its way into my mortal life, working its way into my everyday life, working its way into my everyday situation. Resurrection power is giving me abundant life, because that's what Jesus provided for me, is abundant. Say abundant life. Say abundant. Abundant life. And so what a beautiful text here of David getting a revelation of redemption, seeing ahead of time, New Testament revelation. He's writing it prophetically in advance. He's got a revelation of redemption and grace. You could say that God bent time for David to have a revelation of redemption that was going to be fully provided at the cross and the resurrection. He bends time for Hezekiah and says, I'll give you just a little more time, 15 more years. I'm going to add to your life. That's a word for somebody right here in this house where you thought you were going to die. Maybe the Lord is going to give you some more time to live. And so we look through it, and what does he do? He heals all our sin, heals all our diseases, gives us a destiny, gives us understanding for our identity and our finances and for abundant life. So redemption is getting time back. That's redemption, is getting time back. So I'll say it this way in conclusion. Instead of feeling like you've lost time, and you might be here today, I'm running out of time. Time's slipping through my finger. I've lost time. I haven't been able to accomplish everything I want to do. I can't seem to get it all done. Other people seem to be ahead of me. No, listen. Instead of feeling like you've lost time, you actually have an advantage on everyone else. In fact, we could really say it this way. It's not fair to everybody else. So you walked in here thinking, man, it's not fair. Everybody else is being blessed, and why do the wicked prosper, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No. It's actually the reverse. You're so blessed. And you understand redemption. You have redemption working on your side. God will even slow down time for you. It's actually an unfair advantage to everybody else. You are so blessed with the benefits of redemption. Can you say amen to that? Come on, let's stand to our feet. Amen.